The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. After he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he began walking towards them on the sea. But the disciples, seeing Jesus walking on the sea, were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately spoke to them and said, "It is I. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when Peter noticed the winds, the strong winds, he was frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were on the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to... For the worship or the children's sermon, I'm going to ask you to stand up, make some space around you, kids. We're going to play a little bit of Simon Says. Have you ever played Simon Says? So it's a game where I will tell you, Simon Says, pat your head. And you need to pat your head, but only if I say Simon Says. So if I tell you to touch your nose, but I didn't say Simon Says, you can't do that. All right? So that's part of the game. I'm going to put this on gallery view real quick so I can see more of you. So, you ready? Simon Says, pat your head. Simon Says, stop. Simon Says, touch your nose. Stop touching your nose. Oh, I didn't say Simon Says. All right. So Simon Says, put your hands on your hips. Pick your leg up. I didn't say Simon Says, pick your leg up. You got to put it back down. Simon Says, spin around. Stop. Did you stop? Are you still spinning? I can't tell because I'm still spinning. Oh, good, good. Simon Says stop. Whoo, that was cray-cray. All right. How'd you guys do? Okay? All right? Sometimes we got to pay attention a lot when we're playing a game like Simon Says, but sometimes we got to pay attention, too, in our lives about what God is asking us to do. God asks us to do lots of things, and sometimes they may be uncomfortable at first, like meeting new people and being nice. But when we are nice to people and we meet new people and we care for those who may look a little bit different than us, it is what God asks us to do. And it takes a really good ear to listen, to make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do. Because God calls us to do certain things, and we must be willing to do those things. Just like Peter in the boat. Jesus is walking out there. Peter's all excited. God, if it is you, Jesus, if it is you, call me to walk next to you. And Jesus says, come. And even though Peter is scared because of the waves, he still gets out of the boat and does it. And Jesus was there with him the whole time. Make sure nothing happened to Peter. Jesus is with you all the time. Make sure you listen. Make sure you listen to your parents and those who care about you. And all will be well. All works for God's good. So let us pray. Good and gracious God, you are awesome and we love you. We thank you for this time together. Help us to listen for your call to be good to one another and to love all your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, kids. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you this day. Amen. The disciples move from great fear to little faith in 7 verses. It's amazing if it were true. To process something like faith, it takes a lot of processing. For the disciples to understand this little faith, it takes time. These last few weeks of Scripture we've actually heard through the lectionary that it proves and is probably the most insightful vision into God's humanity and divinity. Like Pastor Mike did last week, I want to remind us of the bigger picture of what is revealed to us through our readings. First, we hear how Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to small things, a mustard seed, yeast, a hidden treasure in a field, a merchant looking for a pearl of great value, an inclusive net that when cast out caught fish of every kind. God uses these small things every day, these ordinary daily things in which God will do God's transforming work. Jesus asked the disciples, have you understood all this? And the disciples enthusiastically exclaim, yes. Part of our scripture that the lectionary does not include is the rejection by Jesus' hometown. When Jesus returns home, the people are confused and are full of questions. Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary? And are his brothers not James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all of his sisters with us? Where did this man get all of this? And Jesus leaves without doing many deeds of power there. Then Jesus is told about his cousin who was beheaded, and he wishes to mourn his loss, to be alone, to pray and commune with God. But instead, he has mercy on the congregation which has formed around him. The group of 5,000 men and women and children. Jesus puts his own needs aside and has compassion on them and cures their sick. And he reaches out to the disciples for some help when evening comes because the crowd needs to be fed. But then the disciples take a step back as they are told, not asked, not invited, but told by Jesus to feed the crowd of over 5,000. And not thinking, they renege on their enthusiastic yes and inform Jesus that they only have a limited supply. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Jesus, in his humanity, is exhausted, as we would be. Jesus is processing all that has just gone on. I imagine he's getting a little cranky. Yet Jesus again shows them that God will and does work through the small things such as 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds the 5,000 men along with their wives, spouses, women, and children. And there's 12 baskets left over, a testament to the abundance of God's love. So today we hear immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead. Not sure why the lectionary in our bulletin or even in the Sundays and Seasons left out that word immediately, but it's there. You can look it up. Jesus immediately sends the disciples away, made them get in the boat so he could finally get some alone time to process the last few days, weeks, which included teaching, a rejection from his hometown, friends, and family, a loss of a family member and partner in God's calling. Dare I say, he was feeling a little bit of failure in teaching the disciples. Definitely exhaustion from healing and having compassion. Jesus, although he's 100% divine, he is also 100% human. And trying to process all this, he so much desires to rest and reconnect with God. So he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead. Now on the other side, I can't stop thinking how the disciples processed all of this. I mean, they missed so many things. God working in the small things, how they underestimated God's abundance, being made to get into that boat without Jesus and start rowing away. Imagine the disciples in that boat. They're trying to wrap their heads around everything that's just taking place in their few days that have passed. Jesus gave them incredible teachings, but his own hometown rejected him. How do they figure that out? He cures all the sick, yet gets upset because they don't know how to feed 5,000 plus people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And now he sends them out across the sea without him. We have felt those type of wonderings, processing, evaluating our faith to see if it measures up to what we say we believe. Imagine yourself in that boat trying to process this whole situation. Maybe you don't have to. Maybe what we are going through right now is enough to equate to what the disciples were processing. As we sail into this coronavirus sea filled with waves of racial tension and strong winds of political debate, it is easy to feel Jesus has just pushed us out to go on ahead to the other side on our own. But literally, at the darkest hour, when the waves seem unbearable and the wind is at its crescendo, Jesus appears. Unknowingly, of course, but soon to reveal himself. And this is the height of Jesus showing his divinity, coming to the disciples when they are all but lost, probably physically, but more likely spiritually. Jesus comes to invite them into a hurting, chaotic wave of despair in order that the gentle fierceness of love can calm and prove it can calm the most chaotic of times. God calmed the chaos in the beginning of creation and parted the sea to allow freedom in a covenant with God's people. Jesus now walks on the very thing that creates fear, and then he calls out to the disciples. He says, "Take heart, have courage. It is me." In Greek, the same, ego and me. In Hebrew, Yahweh. Do not be afraid. He's claiming his divinity in that moment. Jesus shows us his divinity by showing up in our darkest places. Jesus is there. Jesus is here. God is here. God is saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. It's going to take an abundance of courage to get through the sea of coronavirus and to reform our society to quiet the waves of racial injustice and to silence the strong winds of political debate. It is easy to get caught up in all the chaos and forget that God is here, especially when we are reminded every day of our shortcomings at the name-calling, the shaming, the fighting, the killing, and even worse. Yet Jesus is teaching us when we get exhausted by everything the world is throwing at us, we need to rest. Even if that means sending those we care about ahead on their own so we can reconnect with God and commune with God. That way we will be better prepared to connect with our loved ones and with those who are shaming and name-calling and hurting and fighting. Just as Jesus did on the mountaintop by himself. Then he was able to care for those disciples in the boat. We forget sometimes that when God created everything, it was good. It is good. We only need to have courage in the little faith that we have been given. Peter took that courage of little faith and the steps outside the safety of the boat to get out and to join and to be close with Jesus in the middle of that chaos. Peter longed to be close to Jesus, join God in this chaos, to be reminded that peace lies in communion with God. See, I think in this scripture, sometimes we misunderstand Jesus saying to Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I think what he's trying to say is you had all that you needed. You of little faith, you had it. That's all you need is little faith. Compare that to the rest of the disciples in the boat. They didn't notice the little faith that they were given or had and stayed put. At least Peter took courage in the little faith that he had and took the steps to be closer to Jesus. This exercise of seeing Jesus as human and divine provides great hope in little faith. It shows us even the best of us can get caught up in fear. Yet Jesus is there. Jesus is here to show the promise of forgiveness and resurrection. It is in this strength of our baptismal faith that we take that first step. But when our faithful courage falters, when the stuff of life threatens to overwhelm us, when the demand on our time, our resources, our emotions become so great that we believe that we are about to go under for the third time, that is when we must remember that three times we were washed with the water and the Word. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we have been liberated from sin and death because we have been joined in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been liberated not from sinning, but from the crushing burden of sin. We call that forgiveness. We have been liberated not from dying, but from the victory of death. That's called resurrection. From great fear to little faith in seven verses. Forgiveness and resurrection. God has been promising this to us all along. And together, we're They are all we will need to answer our Lord's invitation. Come, walk with me. I forgive you when you start to sink. I will give you power to rise again. Amen.